This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawm al-din. Amma ba'd. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to commence with the third lesson of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyyah. And tonight, because we have an extra 15 minutes, and it's only for tonight, inshallah, next week, bi-idhnillah, the class will begin at 7 o'clock. Sheikh Hanif's class is going to begin at 5:30 next week because a lot of time is coming back that much. So inshallah, next week, Sheikh Hanif's class will begin at 5:30. This class will begin at 7 o'clock, inshallah, and Salatul Isha will be at 8 o'clock. All right? But we do have an extra 15 minutes today, which hopefully will allow us to get through what we need to get that we need to cover, inshallah ta'ala. And so we're going to skip the questions because there's going to be some questions as we go along. So to get your juices flowing, I just want you to memorize what we're going to cover tonight. Four topics.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Tonight's topics. Number one, the author's introduction. Two, the saved sect. The title. Now, divine names and attributes, principles of Ahlus Sunnah, and major heresies.
Now, okay. Memorize those four topics. So the author, we're going to cover the introduction, inshallah, to this Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah. Now, all of the things that we read before about why the book was written, when it was written, who it was written for, and all of those things, where did they come? Where did we get that information from? Right, we got that information from the trial. That's not in Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah. It's not there. Okay, it's not part of the introduction. We haven't started the introduction yet. We haven't started Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim till tonight, inshallah. So everything that we've covered from introductory matters is not actually part of the introduction of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah. We got that information later because of the trial. All right, is that clear? So tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to deal with the author's introduction. In that, as we go through the introduction, we're going to cover some issues related to Al-Firqa and Najiyah. Okay, the saved sect. We're going to talk about that title, Ahlus Sunnah and Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we're going to begin to cover some fundamental principles related to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes, as well as some broad categories of the heresies and deviation in the field of Al-Asma', the divine names and attributes. All right, so that's what we're going to cover tonight. Bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Fadla, Sheikh. So this is the very beginning of the book. I do not have the book in front of me, but just give me a second, inshallah. Page what now? 37. Bismillah. Nah.
The author's introduction. With the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the Most Merciful. All praise belongs to Allah, who sent His Messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, that it may reign supreme over all religions, and sufficient is Allah as a witness. I bear witness, I testify that there is none worthy of worship except save Allah alone, with no partner, fully acknowledging this and affirming this as Tawheed. I testify, I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May ever increasing peace and blessings be upon him and his family.
Okay, so there's several issues here that we'll... We're not going to delve into them like we would if this was a study in Arabic and go through some of the linguistic meanings and things like this. But it is important just to stop at a few things as we begin this book. So the first thing is that the author begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you can see here, they translate as the All-Merciful, the Most Merciful. Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim both come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both are derivatives of Rahman. But Ar-Rahman is related to the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is the All-Merciful, tabaraka wa ta'ala. He also extends that mercy to His creation, so He is Ar-Rahim. That is the one who extends the mercy to the creation. That's why it's translated here as the Beneficent, because the Beneficent is one who extends mercy to others. And so it's a fairly decent translation to say, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Beneficent. Like, what does it mean when we say, in the name of Allah? And for those of you who have attended Sheikh Hanif's class, you are not excused for not knowing this. What does that mean? The name of Allah, Bismillah. Bismillah what?
Two things. I start by naming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I start my action with the name of Allah.
Okay.
And I intend this action to say Allah.
So notice here, which is the important point, is that we're talking about an action. So when you say Bismillah and you're about to write something, right? Then you're saying, in the name of Allah, I write. Now, there is a verb there that is not stated because it's known. So in the name of Allah, I write. What do you say before you eat? Bismillah. But when you say Bismillah before you eat, you're saying in the name of Allah, what? I eat. Okay? So there, when you start off with Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it's related to an action that you're doing. You're seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's aid in performing that action. Clear? And so the Bismillah should not just roll off the tongue. And when an author starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the author is holding that meaning, right there in front of him or her, to say, I am starting this author, this book, this message that I'm sending, this letter, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His aid. There are three things that are mentioned here. First, that this is the prophetic way of beginning any address. Like, who has an example of that? Who did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam write letters to? Huh? Heraclius, yeah. Tayyib, Harakal. And what did he say to him? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Right. Ila Muhammad ibn Abdullah ila Harakal Azim al-Rum. To the end of it. There you go. Tayyib. Who else they write letters to? Naam, Sheikh. Tayyib. وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانِ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Right. So it's the sunnah of the messengers, عليهم السلام. طيب. And there's several other examples from the lifetime of the Prophet, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the Sahaba, رضي الله عنهم, also followed that tradition of the Prophet, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And that's always important, by the way, to look to see, did the Sahaba, رضي الله تعالى عنهم, do this, even if we found it in a hadith, right? Did the Sahaba, رضي الله تعالى عنهم, follow this practice, right? So that we can see how it was practiced by them. And sure enough, from the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we have established letters from the Khulafa to their followers, where they started off their letters with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is why Ibn Hajar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who wrote a very famous explanation of hadith. What's it called? Fath al-Bari, right? The explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari. He said it's been established that authors begin books of knowledge, books of ilm, with the basmala. Okay, basmala, which is Bismillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. طيب. So then the author goes on to say what? He says, Alhamdulillah alladhi arsala rasulahu bilhuda wa deen al-haq. So just a few things here in terms of opening terminology. He says, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, who sent his messenger with guidance in the religion of truth. Alhamd is only hamd, okay? And this is important just because this is how we start off. The book of Allah Azza wa Jalla starts off with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So he starts off this with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Ladhi Arsala Rasulahu Bil Huda Wa Deen Al-Haq. So Alhamd is adulation that is accompanied by love and reverence. So it's not simply praise. Praise is another word that sounds like hamd. You use the same three letters. Anybody know what that is? It's not necessarily accompanied by love. Madh. Madh. Okay? So hamd has to be accompanied by love and ta'zim, reverence. Okay, mahabba wa ta'zeem. That praise is called hamd. But you can praise something that you don't necessarily love or you don't necessarily magnify it. You don't necessarily hold it in such high esteem. That's just called madh. Okay, madh. Tayyib. Al-huda here, which is translated as guidance. Scholars of tafsir say, because this is taken from an ayah in Surah Al-Fath. Alhamdulillah alladhi arsala rasulahu bil-huda. Wadeen al-haq, al-huda, guidance, is beneficial knowledge. And deen al-haq, the religion of truth here, refers to righteous actions. And whoever combines between al-huda, wadeen al-haq, they combine between beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, then this person has achieved salvation. And that is as-sirat al-mustaqim. What is the sirat al-mustaqim? It's the path that combines between what? All of you make dua for this every rakah. What are you asking Allah for? When you ask Him to guide you to the straight path, huh? An'am ta'alayhim. Who are those who Allah Azza wa Jalla an'am alayhim? Who's the ones that Allah favored? The prophets, the sincere and truthful, the Nabiyyin, Siddiqeen, the martyrs, and the Salihin, and the righteous. But all of them combine between what and what? It's right here on the board. Beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. That's the straight path. That path that combines between the two. And so immediately after that, you say what? غير المغضوب عليهم. Who are the مغضوب عليهم? They're the ones who had knowledge but didn't have what? Righteous actions. Well, الضالين, those are the ones who were just doing things but didn't have what? Knowledge. So once you combine between the two, then you have the right path. That's the صراط المستقيم, straight path. All right? طيب. ماشي. He says, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, to make it prevail over all ways of life, over all religions. طيب, فضل. What does this hadith say?
تبغى هذا؟
إيه اقرأ جزاك الله خير.
بالإنجليزي تاكل.
فضل.
تميم الداري رضي الله عنه reported the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said.
Stop right there. Tamim al-Dari radiallahu an. What famous hadith did he narrate? Inshallah you'll take it with Shaykh Abu Muhammad soon enough. Yalla. All of you know this hadith too. He even try to say it in Arabic. Ad-deen, an-nasiha. Deen an-nasiha. A hadith is narrated by Tamim al-Dari radiyallahu an. طيب, how you translate deen nasiha? Yalla. Come work together on this one. Go ahead.
It's khilaf and what nasiha actually means.
Oh, don't get too deep now, sorry. That's what we used to say. We didn't know an answer in class. Sheikh say, what's the call in the fi khilaf? All right, start. Yeah, let's.
The religion is advising one another.
The religion is advising one another. Right. So the first part of the hadith, then they said to who, Ya Rasulullah? Said to Allah, to His Messenger. So do you advise Allah?
No.
All right, type then. We can't go with that translation. Yalla, Bismillah. Fadda, Sheikh.
Could it mean loyalty?
It can. Keep going. Fidelity. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. So the reason, I don't know, I probably date myself here, but we used to have a bank here in Philly called Fidelity. You remember that back in the day? That doesn't exist anymore, right?
No.
Fidelity Bank? Play it. Most people know the opposite of fidelity, which is what? Infidelity. Which means to do what? To cheat. Uh-huh. To deceive, to cheat. Okay, so fidelity means what? To be true to something. And that's where you get that concept of loyalty, right? To be true to something, sincere to something. All right? And that's ad-din and nasiha. Tayyib, tamim ad-dari, radiyallahu anhu. Fadda.
This matter will certainly reach every place touched by the night and day. Allah will not leave a house or residence, but that Allah will cause this religion to enter it, by which the honorable will be honored and the disgraceful will be disgraced. Allah will honor the honorable with Islam and He will disgrace the disgraceful
with
unbelief.
Yeah. So this deen was sent to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came with this deen, and it will prevail over all other religions. This is the prophecy of our Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And alhamdulillah, yani we live in a time where you see some of this. You don't see all of it, but you see some of this come and become a reality. طيب. He says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And Allah Azza wa Jal is sufficient as a witness. He is sufficient as a witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His messenger. And He's sufficient as a witness that He sent him with the deen. Even if nobody else believes that, Allah Azza wa Jal is sufficient as a witness that He sent Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this deen, and that He made Islam prevail over all other religions. And then at the end, He says, I testify that Muhammad is His servant and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And in some other nuskhas or additions, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. When we talk about the al of the Prophet, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are we referring to? Who is that? Sorry?
Ahlul Bayt.
Ahlul Bayt? Who's al wa al Bayt? Ala kulli hal, we'll get to Ahlul Bayt later on in the Risala, inshallah. Al al in general refers to three different categories. Okay, the first is the children and grandchildren of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so his offspring. Okay, likewise his wives, the mothers of the believers, radiyallahu ta'ala anhun, and by extension his relatives from Banu Hashim that accepted Islam. Okay, so those are all the al. When we say wa'ala alihi wa sahbihi, yani his sahib or his companions, wa sallam, yani, then these are who we are referring to, these three categories. Tell you, who can bring those three categories back?
Children.
Tell you, fadda.
His children, grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
His wives.
Right, and?
And the people from Banu Hashim. His
relatives from Banu Hashim. Nah, that accepts his sin. Tell you, hello. Fadl Sheikh. لا من الكتاب نفسه.
This is an exposition of the belief of the saved group, those who are aided until the establishment of the hour.
طيب. نعم. I'm sorry. Keep going.
أهل السنة والجماعة. It comprises faith in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the resurrection after death, and the belief in divine decree, the good thereof and the bad.
Okay, perfect. All right, so he says, this is an exposition of faith. I'm sorry, because just give me 1 second. Mashi. Iqra, go to the back of the book and just make sure you follow with the Arabic, inshallah. I left my book in the other bag.
Here, I have to.
Levis. Oh, no, yeah, no.
I have the second book.
Okay. Just the intro. هذا اعتقاد فرقة الناجية. المنصورة. طيب, can you read the English again? Because even my English is, it's only half there. Read it again.
Okay. This is an exposition of the belief of the saved group, those who are aided until...
Uh-huh. Okay, it says the saved group, those who are aided. طيب, ماشي. But in Arabic it says, الفرقة الناجية المنصورة. Okay, so الفرقة الناجية المنصورة. So what we have here is the saved, victorious sect. Okay. How many people have heard this terminology before? Saved sect. Yes? How many of you are from the saved sect? MashaAllah. InshaAllah. InshaAllah. It's good. Wa la tuzakku anfusakum. Don't praise yourselves. And nah. So... There's a few things that have to be covered here. First of all, he says that this is the i'tiqad, the creed. And we covered that terminology last week. Who remembers what i'tiqad or aqidah comes from? What three-letter root? Aqidah, which means what? To tie, to knot, to bind. Right. So it is a doctrine. It is creed. It's like you tie it to your heart. That's how firmly you believe in it. All right? So this is the creed of the saved, victorious sect. Uh-huh. All right. So let's go through this step by step. Fadl Shaykh. Iqra min huna.
Nafs al-Shay?
Min huna. Ayo.
Taya. The saved, the victorious sect. Mm. Saved. Salvation from misguidance and hell.
So two things that this group is saved from. They are saved from misguidance in this life and from the fire in the next life. And there's plenty of evidence for all of that. But this is what is meant by al-firqa and najiyah. So they're saved from misguidance, from deviation in this life and from the hellfire in the next life. Now,
victorious, that is aided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right, and so here that's what it says, who are aided, right, in the translation, right, in a sect.
Sect, a group characterized by a specific doctrine and methodology.
Right, so doctrine and methodology. And why is that important? Because deviant methodologies lead to deviant conclusions. However, it is very possible that a person gets to the right answer sometimes, even though they went the wrong way. And that happens. And this is why in math, the teacher always says what? Show your work. What's your methodology? How did you get to the end? Because you might get the right answer. But you may have gone the wrong way about getting the right answer. And so, therefore, it's important to show your work. Showing your work, that is your manhaj. That's the methodology. So, a sect is a group that is characterized by a specific methodology. Maybe that's even better to say specific methodology first, right? And doctrine, because that methodology will obviously lead to certain beliefs, all right? So, where do we get this concept anyway of a saved sect, of it? Aided, victorious, triumphant group. Well, it comes directly from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. It's hadith mutawatir. And mutawatir means that it has been narrated by so many people that it is impossible. I mean, this is not a technical definition, but it has been narrated by so many people that it is impossible that they conspired to lie on the Prophet ﷺ. Whereas it's possible if one person or two people narrate, it's possible that there was a conspiracy. In theory, that's possible. Though the scholars of hadith have weeded all of that out. Alhamdulillah. But the point is, with the mutawatir, yani with those hadith that have been narrated in this fashion, that's not even a possibility. Nah. تفضل شيخ اقرأ الحديث.
And the translation of the hadith concerning this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a group from my ummah, Ta'ifa, will always remain triumphant on the right path, al-haq, and continue to be triumphant. He who deserts them, he who leaves them, shall not be able to do them any harm, Allah make us among them. They will remain in this position until the command of Allah comes.
Hatta ya'tiya amrullah. All right, so go back now. Let's see if we can appreciate this a little differently now. This is an exposition. Read that again, please. From the book.
This is an exposition, an explanation of the belief of the saved group, those who are aided until the establishment of the hour.
Okay, so you see where he's even pulling that directly, and this goes back to something that we covered, I believe that we covered, and if we didn't, I'll just say it here. In that trial, he said, I purposely built al-aqid al-wasitiyya ala al-fadh al-kitabi wa sunnah. And the wording from the Quran and the sunnah. So even his wording here is coming from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Because as you can see, it's directly from the hadith, لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَدَلَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. So he says here, until the establishment of the hour. طيب, what does that mean? What's that mean? The hour. What is he talking about? Right, he's talking about until Yawm al-Qiyamah is established. Tayyib, here's the thing. There is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that this hour will not be established when there is left on earth anyone who says Allah, Allah. Meaning what? وَلَا تَقُمْ إِلَّا عَلَى شِرَالِ الْخَلْقِ. And that the hour is not going to be established except that the worst of the people are here, which means there's no Ta'ifatul Mansura at that time. So until the establishment of the hour, actually here, and as the scholars have mentioned, means yani close to the establishment of the hour. Iqra al-hadith.
Bil-Inglizi, Abu Hurairah radiallahu an narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely cause a wind more delicate than silk to blow from Yemen. It will spare none who has faith equal to the weight of a grain or a dust particle, except that it will cause him to die.
Yani, that is that everybody who has any level, any amount of faith in their heart will be taken by this wind. And then the only people that will be left on earth are the worst of the people. And that is when the hour will be established. So until the hour is established, I need close to the hour. Now, here's the issue. Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, he's saying that in this book, we're going to go over the aqidah of the saved sect. Like, does that not imply that those who do not hold these beliefs to be true are not from the saved sect? Does that not imply that? Yes, it does, without a doubt. Anybody that reads that is going to understand that. In the trial, this was one of the things that they called him to task for. They said, okay, young man, this is what you're saying, that this is the aqidah of the saved sect. Time out. We don't believe that way that you believe. So are you saying that we're condemned to the hellfire? You understand the issue? Okay, well, let's see what Shaykh al-Islam said. Fadha.
Then I said to them, not everyone who disagrees with some part of this creed is necessarily doomed.
Stop there. Okay, let's take it step by step. Because what we have to understand, this is the interesting part. When we go back, we remember Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, he did have a temper, but he was fair. Subhanallah. Even under the circumstances, he was under attack here, right? This wasn't like this was a kangaroo court. They set him up. It was no, but he was calm. and this is the deen of Allah. So he's saying, look, this is the aqidah of the Salaf. There's no doubt about that. It doesn't mean that somebody who disagrees with some part of it is necessarily doomed. Yani, is necessarily not saved. Certain parts. Obviously, if they don't believe in Allah, they don't believe in His angels, they don't believe in His books. I mean, that's kufr that takes a person outside of the fold of Islam. But let's see. Keep it going. For one
who disputes some aspect of this creed may do so on the basis of some faulty exercise of personal judgment, ijtihad, for which Allah may forgive him.
But look at that. He's saying, look, even though this is the aqid of the Salaf, and I have no doubt about it, a person may have exercised his own judgment, though faulty, and Allah may forgive him. So I'm not going to come here and make that kind of judgment. No.
Or the information he has received regarding a particular point may not constitute sufficient proof to him.
And Tebby, again, he is saying, this is the aqid of the Salaf. However, it's not, though I am convinced of this, the information that someone else may have received about this particular topic may not be convincing to them. And therefore, that's why they may not believe that. And so he says that this is somebody that may be excused. Now,
or his good deeds may be of such magnitude that Allah uses them to wipe out bad deeds.
And from the bad deeds is bad aqidah. Like, don't think of bad deeds just as you know, backbiting somebody or, you know, worse than that, committing zina. So that's not the only bad deeds. Bad aqidah is a bad deed. No.
And since the pronouncements of divine threat against those who violate right belief are not necessarily inclusive, they don't include of those...
Not necessarily. They don't necessarily include. They could, but not necessarily. Right.
Of those who do so on the basis of innocently faulty interpretation, a muta'awwil, or those who repent, or those who have expiatory, did I get that right?
Expiatory.
There you go. Expiatory. Good deeds. Or those whose faults have been forgiven, among others. One who commits some minor violation is a fortiori, nay, the upshot of what
it
I
is
said.
Is exempted a fortiori. Yani, in Arabic, they say, Mbabi awla. Mbabi awla. Mbabi awla. Yani, in other words, has more of a right? More deserving of, right? Being exempted from punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Nay, the upshot of what I have said here is that whoever believes according to this creed attains salvation commensurate at the same level with disbelief. And those who believe contradicts this creed may attain salvation, and they may not. As the saying goes, saved is the one who suspends judgment.
Right. What that means is that he's saying that he's suspending judgment for those who oppose this creed. That's not his. He's saying that's not my place, and I'm safe with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I'm leaving that person to Allah. Right. And this part is important as we go on to study this creed. That number one, the first beneficiary of this creed is you. Right? As I learned this, because subhanAllah, sometimes, and this is just how it works sometimes, maybe how we've been conditioned, that as we read, we start thinking about other people. Right? Oh, so-and-so don't believe that. Ah, them boys down there. You know, that's... The first person that needs to benefit from this creed is me. And not to be so concerned about where other people are. Now, from the aspect of dawah, once I've understood something, I'm confident, and I want to talk to other people about it, that's totally different. But judging them, right, is very different from me trying to convey a message to them. And this is basically what I think is very important. Important about this particular portion of what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala says. And you see his rahmah, yani, with the people, and that he wanted them to believe correctly what he thought was the correct belief and what he thought would save them in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't have any personal agenda. And he didn't get anything out of it. I mean, except for a hard time. SubhanAllah. And he, even in some of his rasail, in some of his letters, he says, you know, al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an al-munkar tarakani bila sadiq. And he did that, commanding the good and bila sahib wa la sadiq. And he did, commanding the good and forbidding the evil left me with no friends. And just gave me, you know, in terms of dunya side, just a hard time. But it is important to see this, and I wanted to, you know, just highlight this, inshallah ta'ala, in the beginning. So he says, until the establishment of the hour, Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Alright, so let us just stop here. Some people have an aversion, you know, to titles. Why Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Why can't everybody just be Muslims? And the reality is that if there weren't deviations from the correct path, then there wouldn't have to be titles. But when bid'ah became prevalent and people left the straight path, then there had to be a way to distinguish, I need the correct way from the false way. And so the terminology that was given was the terminology that was used by the early scholars of Islam, including some of the companions, and if not Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, definitely from the time of the Tabi'een, they used the term Ahl Sunnah and sometimes Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They don't want us to look at this as being some late terminology that came in. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith of Al-Irbad al-Nusariya, in the famous hadith where he says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wa'adana maw'idha ka'annaha maw'idhatu muwaddi'in, and he gave us a sermon as if he was like giving his farewell sermon. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is a part of the hadith, innahu man ya'ish minkum fa sayara ikhtilafan kathiran, whoever from amongst you lives. Who was he talking to? He's talking to the Sahaba. Right, which means that what he was about to say was going to happen fairly recently, relatively, relative to the hadith. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever from amongst you lives is going to see great differing. Great differing. Like, what's the solution? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. So hold fast to my sunnah وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ مَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas who come after me, عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدْ. Bite down firm with your molars. Play it. So the people who hold on to that advice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which was, what was his advice? Hold fast to what? My sunnah. Then they are the people of the sunnah. Clear? It doesn't require a whole lot of, you know, philosophy. Ahlus Sunnah. They're the people who held fast to the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that there's going to be ikhtilaf and that people are going to go different ways. Tayyib. There's a statement attributed to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You can find it in the books of Tafsir, though the isnad is not sahih to Ibn Abbas. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Ali Imran, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُمْ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُمْ, yani the day when some faces will be made white and other faces will be made dark. Ibn Abbas, there's a statement attributed to him, he said, تَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ, that the faces of أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ will be made white. وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعَةِ وَالضَّلَالَةِ, that the faces of أهل البدع and misguidance, okay, will be darkened. But again, that isnad is not sahih to Ibn Abbas. It doesn't take away from the fact that it became prevalent, yani, during the time of the Tabi'een. I mean, so much so that scholars have gathered the statements of the early scholars of Islam from the Tabi'een, who mentioned Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and I only put one of them here. Fadl, you can read the statement of Ibn Sirin, rahimahullahu ta'ala.
The translation reads from Ibn Sirin, rahimahullahu
ta'ala. Ibn Sirin was from the greatest of the tabi'in. Died in 110 after the hijrah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam.
He said, they did not used to ask about the isnad, but when the fitna happened, they said, name to us your men, your followers, your group. So the narrations of Ahl Sunnah would be accepted, while those of Ahl Bid'ah would be rejected.
And what fitna existed at that time? What fitna is he talking about happened? The fitna of the Khawarij, which was the first major theological sect in Islam. All right? I know we're moving kind of slow right now, but it's important to kind of dissect some of these concepts, because this aqidah that we're studying, Shaykh al-Islam is telling us this is the aqidah of the safe sect. It is the aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, is the aqidah of the Salaf. This is not the aqidah of some philosophers who came later, or from Ahl al-Kalam, the Mutakallimun, or who. This is the aqidah of the Salaf. So understanding who we're talking about is important. And I think we've established, and inshallah we will establish even more as we go along, that the aqidah that is the correct aqidah has to be the aqidah that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught his companions, and that they taught the tabi'in, and that any aqidah that would oppose that aqidah cannot be correct. Is that clear? Because what we would be saying at that point is that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum didn't believe correctly, and these people who came later did. And that would be an atrocity. Mashi. So he says, it can. This is the aqidah is established in Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. He said it comprises faith in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the resurrection after death, and belief in the divine decree, the good thereof, and the bad. So if we look at that, then the creed of Ahl Sunnah is the belief in these six major articles of faith that come from what? Where do we get all of those six combined?
Come on, you guys know it.
I was about to say. Yeah. Come on now. I know Friday night has to be provided. Tight. So the hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salam. He came to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. He asked him, "Wama al-Iman?" And the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, "Tu'minu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawm al-akhir." Right? He didn't say, in some narrations, actually, he did say, "Wal ba'thi ba'da al-maut," which is what Shaykh al-Islam mentions here, resurrection after death, which is the beginning of al-qiyamah al-kubra, right? So it is the beginning of yawm al-qiyamah, in the sense that, and we've discussed this before, that every person that dies, their qiyamah has begun. But that's the qiyamah al-sughra. Qiyamah al-kubra, when everybody is raised from their graves, that's the resurrection. So that's the beginning of the qiyamah al-kubra, resurrection after death. When tu'mina bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, in the divine decree, the good thereof and the bad. So then Shaykh al-Islam goes on to say, part of faith in Allah, listen to what he says, part of faith in Allah. Okay. So he's going on now, and he's going to give some explanation to the first article of faith, which is faith in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that? Okay. And then he's going to go, he's not going to talk much about the angels and the books. He's then going to actually go and talk about the divine, the Yawm al-Akhir, and he's going to talk about Al-Qadr, and then he's going to get into some other things. After he deals with faith in Allah, which is 40 to 50% of the book. All right? So this is the part right here where we have to take our time so that as we move through, it becomes easier. We have principles that we can go back to inshallah ta'ala. So, what is the main objective of this book? As Si'di rahimahullah ta'ala says in his Tanbihat al-Latifa, which is his sharh of al-Aqid al-Wasitiyah, he says, this treatise, from beginning to end, provides details for these six fundamental tenets of faith. All right? So, what is the rest of al-Aqid al-Wasitiyah about? It's providing details for these six right here. That is what the remainder of Al-Aqid Al-Wasitiyah is dealing with. All right? بالمناسبة الشيء بالشيء يذكر السعدي الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله is the first one to actually write commentary on Al-Aqid Al-Wasitiyah that we know about, that we have with us today. Which is really interesting. Because who knows when Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir said that? Yeah. Like, as in the 1950s? Probably. 1376 Hijri, right? Which was 67 years ago. 67 years ago, Hijri, which is 65 years ago, Gregorian. So 55, 56, yeah, something like that. Nah. That was the first commentary that was actually written on Al-Aqid al-Wasitiyah. And the story is that one of his students came and was just sitting by his door. And he was like, can you write a commentary for this? And he was like, it's easy. It's Waldeh. It's very clear. Like, doesn't need a commentary. SubhanAllah. But that student kept pushing him, Jazawallahu khairan. And then he wrote a Tanbihat al-Latifa, al-Aqid al-Wasitiyah. And then Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, came and made some comments on the comments of As-Sa'di. So maybe, and I haven't looked at the translation of the one that's attributed to Sheikh bin Baz, al-Aqid al-Wasitiyah, in English. I haven't looked at that translation, but maybe that's a translation of his comments on Sa'di. I'm not sure where they got that from. طيب, على كل حال, we're going to go now, you know, some people may want to go into details about these things. Our point of study is to study the book, Al-Aqid al-Wasitiyah. We'll break down the words that the author has mentioned and really try to get a solid foundation. So we're going to go now directly into what Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah ta'ala says. This here is not the exact translation of al-Wasitiyah, but I want you to see how close it is. This is the translation of what Shaykh al-Islam said when they came to him in the trial. And they said, what is your belief? What is your aqidah? So this is what he says. Fadl, iqra.
The creed of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah is to believe in Allah as he and his messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, have described him, without distorting this description, tahrif, without divesting, taking away from him any attribute, a ta'til, without inquiring about the modality, the how, of his attributes, a ta'kif, and without assuming similarities between him and created beings, a tamthil.
Yeah, we're going to go through all of this. We're going to break this down this week, and inshallah, even spend some time on it next week. These concepts, you have to understand, period. So what I do need you to do, if there's any psychological barriers between you and this, take them outside the masjid and leave them there, because we have to understand this. And I'm sure that there are times when you've read it and maybe you kind of just skipped over it. It's too much terminology, too much Arabic and all that. We got four words we need to understand. That's it. And inshallah, we're going to get to the point where we do understand them, bi-idhnillah. But I want you to see the similarity between this and what's in your book. Okay? So now we're going to read what's in our book. So he says that the creed of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is to believe in Allah as he and his messenger have described him. Now we're going to go directly from the book. And you can read it from here, from the book, Al-Kafik.
Faith in Allah. Part of faith in Allah is to believe in what he has described himself with in his book, and what his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has described him
with.
Yani,
and that with which his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has described him. If you want to get, if you want to use real English. All right, let's stop there very quickly, because this part is critical, and it may seem very rudimentary. It's a given. Who would disagree with that? You would be surprised. You'd be surprised. So the first thing that he says is part of faith in Allah is to believe in what he has described himself with in his book, and that with that which his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described. Clear? So, if Allah says something about himself, then Ahl Sunnah affirm that. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something about Allah that is not in the Quran, but it is an authentic Sunnah of his Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then we believe that. Why is that important? Goes back to what we talked about last week. Why is this belief specifically important? Yeah, because it's the Aqidah, but what? Because it's very important that our conceptualization, that what we conceive about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is correct. Do we got that? What we can see, because built upon what we conceive about Allah is then what? What we say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that belief that we have about Allah azza wa jal also has a major impact on what we do, right? So it's very important. And that's just part of it. The other part of this is that if we deny something about himself, what are we saying here? Are we saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know how to describe himself? We're saying that he's not truthful, that he's not articulate, that what are we saying exactly? It's very, very important that we describe Allah as he described himself and as his messenger, the one he chose to send to the creation. That we describe him the way that the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam described him. Like, keep going, Muhammad.
Part of faith in Allah is to believe in what he has described in his book and what his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described him without distorting, denying.
So the same thing you see here, right? It says the credo of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah is believe in Allah and as he and his messenger have described him without distorting this description, tahrif, without divesting him of any attribute, ta'til, without inquiring about the modality of his attributes, taqif, without assuming similarities between him and created beings, ta'til, right? So same, almost the same exact thing. Rather,
they believe about Allah, glorious is he, that nothing is like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing.
That's from the ayah, Surah Ash-Shura, the 11th ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Don't worry, we're going to come back to all of this. It's just, follow.
As such, they do not negate what he has described himself with. They do not distort words from their proper places. And they do not desecrate his names and signs. They do not ask after the how.
They don't seek modality. They're not asking how. Okay? And they do not keep going.
And they do not liken his attributes with the attributes of his creator. This is because he has no namesake.
Okay, so here for namesake, if you have the ability, circle it, right? And write similarity. He has no similarity. There is nothing. This is how This is how I would translate this last sentence, okay? I would say, or maybe a clearer translation is to say, this is because there is nothing similar, comparable, or equal to him. This is because there is nothing similar, comparable, or equal to him. The Arabic is لِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا سَمِيَّ لَهُ, which is taken from the ayah Surah Maryam, وَلَا كُفْءَ لَهُ, which is taken from Surah Al-Ikhlas, وَلَا نِدَّ لَهُ, which is taken from Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَا تَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. And a nid, even though it's translated here as an equal, a nid is a rival. Normally you would translate as a rival. Allah Azza wa Jal has, there's nothing similar, comparable to him. There's nothing that rivals him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. We are going to try to break this down to the best of our ability and make sure that we understand this clearly. All right? So, part of faith in Allah is what? Is to affirm what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed for himself in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Why both? Because both are forms of revelation. The Prophet does not speak from his own desires. He only tells us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which Allah revealed to him. So are we clear on that? That's the first part. This is all just straight from the Quran and Sheikh Islam. Affirm Allah's attributes that are found in the Quran and the Sunnah. We refrain from four things. All right. So, and with the examples, it'll become clear, inshallah. All right. So, okay? So, example that is given by many of the Salaf, they said that the minute tahrif is qawl al-jahmiyyah, okay? The statement of the jahmiyyah, yadullahi ni'matuhu. That Allah's hand is his ni'mah. They said that this is the statement of the jahmiyyah. These are the early Salaf, not somebody that came later, not Ibn Taymiyyah or even those who came after him, Ibn al-Qayyim, al-Dhahabi, Ibn Rajab, la. The early scholars of Islam is Hakim al-Rahawi, Hamad Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, Ibn Uyayna, and others. And we'll see that. I'll bring those statements. Aqeedah that Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, the second thing, ta'atil. Repeat it. Ta'atil. That means denial of the attribute. So, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah azza wa jal yanzil, that he descends in the last third of the night, narrated by 32 companions. And not something that just one might have heard and misunderstood. No, 32 companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam have narrated the hadith al nuzul, that Allah azza wa jal descends. We have people, they are Muslims, and they want to do what they call tanzih, which is that Allah is perfect and he is above certain things. Yani above in the sense that We shouldn't describe him this way. So they say, this is where they come with the Ta'til. They say we should not say that Allah descends. Allah's above descending. So if the Prophet was sitting there in their faces, and he said to them, Allah yanzil, they're going to tell him no? Allah does not? It doesn't do that? You understand? But this is ta'til, to deny the attribute, because they will say, la yaliqu billah. But that's based on a philosophical background that has led them to that, which may be beyond the scope of what we really need to get into. Inshallah, definitely not for today. Then we have tekyif, which I've not spelled the way that most people spell it. Because if you spell it with an A, most people come up with tekyif. Right. So we're going to go, we'll go with the E for this one. It's pronounced tekyif. Repeat it. Tekyif. Tekyif. So that is to assign a modality to say this is how Allah Azza wa Jal is, or this is how he does something. And this may remind you of the famous athar of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, when he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal istawa ala arshihi. Okay, wastawa fi kalam as-salaf, according to the salaf. And when I say kalam as-salaf, I'm not talking about scholars from the, you know, 4th century, 5th century, I'm talking about the early scholars of Islam. And we'll go back, inshallah, we'll bring this out from Sunan at-Tirmidhi, for example, mentions the tafsir of istiwa as being al-ulu wal-irtifa'. So Allah Azza wa Jal rose above his throne, he's above his throne, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imam Malik mentioned this in the Prophet's masjid, alayhi salam. And the man came to Imam Malik, and he said to him, kayfa istawa? How did he rise above the throne? And so Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, istiwa'u ma'lum. Istiwa is known. The meaning of it is known. It's clear from a linguistic perspective, especially when you say istawa'a ala, right? So when you put that preposition with it, right, it can only mean one of four things, and they all have the very similar in meaning. Like I said, al-ulu wal-irtifa'. طيب. So Imam Malik said, istiwa ma'lum. It's well known. It's Imam Malik, by the way. 179. It's not Ibn Taymiyyah. It's not Ibn al-Qayyim. He died in 179 after the Hijrah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Istiwa'u ma'lum. Wal kayfu majhul. But how is not known. How is not known. How does Allah, you'll find that some of the other salaf, when asked that question, they would say, tell me how Allah is, and then I'll tell you how he ends it. Ishaq, rahimahullah, and he came to him and said, kayfa yanzil? Kayfa yanzil? How does he descend? He said, tell me how Allah is, and then I'll tell you how he descends. Well, since you believe in Allah, even though you don't know how Allah is, we believe that he does whatever he wants, and we don't know how. And that's fine. Because if this is how he described himself, who am I to come and say that, no, Allah, you're wrong in how you described yourself? You shouldn't have said this about yourself. Waliyadu billah. Because this is the implication. Okay? Ishaq ibn Rahawayh. Don't worry. It's all going to come, inshallah. Pictures and all that other good stuff, inshallah. Don't worry. Bidnillah. And the reason why is because sometimes you have to go into detail, because there are some people that genuinely believe. Genuinely. Like Sheikh al-Islam said, some people, the proof may just not have come to them. Some people genuinely believe that this is some bid'ah that Ibn Taymiyyah made up. This whole aqidah is a Taymiyyan creed that was made up in the 7th and 8th century by Ibn Taymiyyah and his followers. And they don't realize. And that's because that's what they've been told by their sheikhs. If you really go back to the books, and alhamdulillah, that's the great thing about it, we have the books. We have books that were written 2nd century, 3rd century. We have them, alhamdulillah. Like, as in literally, have them. So, he says, al-istiwa ma'lum wal-kayfu majhool. Wa-su'alu anhu bid'ah. And asking about it is an innovation. Asking how is an innovation. In some narrations, وَلَا أَرَاكَ إِلَّا مُبْتَدِعًا أَخْرِجْهُ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. And I don't see you to be except for a mubtadi', get him out of the masjid. All right, so takyif, assigning a modality. And the last is tamthil. Repeat it, tamthil. This is likening Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation. Like Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala says, من قال يد كيدي وسمع كسمعي وبصر كبصري فقد كفر. Whoever says, a hand like my hand, or hearing like my hearing, or seeing like my seeing, has disbelieved. And they're assigning that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tamthil. And Allah azza wa jalla says about himself what? Laysa kamithlihi shay. So this is what we're going to do now, inshallah. Just break this down just a little bit. So if we look at what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is saying, is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah is that we affirm the attributes of Allah azza wa jalla as they come in the Quran and the Sunnah. Because the speech of Allah is his speech, and that's what he said about himself. There's nobody more truthful in speech than Allah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam does not speak of his own desires, and there is no one from the creation of Allah who is more knowledgeable of Allah than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As the Prophet said, inna a'lamukum billahi ana. The most knowledgeable amongst you of Allah is me. Wala fakhr. And this is not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi boasting. So, if we go to the first principle, the first principle, Fadhil Shaykh, Iqra.
Negation. First principle. Negate those qualities that have been negated in revelation, that is the Quran and Sunnah.
And in general, we negate that there's anything like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, period. He has no equal, there is nothing comparable to him, he has no rival, there's nothing similar to him. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. Do you know anything similar to Allah? وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Okay, and there's nothing that resembles Allah, there's nothing comparable to Allah. فَلَا تَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. And don't set up rivals for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing that rivals him. وَلَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And he has no partner. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like him, period. So, that is the first principle of Ahl Sunnah, is that we negate that Allah Azza wa Jal has anything that is like him, anything that is comparable to him, and we also negate anything that Allah Azza wa Jal negated for himself in the Quran and Sunnah. For example, the greatest ayah in the Quran is what? I'm sorry. Ayatul Kursi. Tayyib. Yalla. Say Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Al-Hayy al-Qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Tayyib, what did Allah Azza wa Jalla negate for himself? Right there. Right. Sina and nawm. Sina is what? Drowsiness. Slumber, okay, and sleeping. So we negate those things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has negated for himself. Clear? Yeah. And we'll talk about these principles a little bit more as we go along. But I just want us to get a broad understanding of this. Tayyip. But when we negate, okay, that negation has to be without distortion and without denial, without tahrif and without ta'atil. Okay, meaning what? What does this mean here? So, okay, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran that he has two hands. Sah? Where does he say that? بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبَسُوطَتَانِ. Refuting the statement of those who said that Allah is faqir, that Allah is poor, right? Allah says his hands are outstretched. طيب. That's a place. بَلْ يَدَاهُ. His two hands. طيب. He also says what? مَا مَنَعَكَ to Iblis. مَا مَنَعَكَ أَنْ تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. What is it that has prevented you from prostrating to that which I have created with my two hands? Okay. So, what does it mean? What is tahrif and what is ta'til? What would be an example of tahrif here? Yes, yes. So that is tahrif, but I'm saying right here when we're dealing with the when we're dealing with Allah Azza wa Jalla's two hands. Right. So to change it and say what's meant by the two hands is ni'mah or qudra or something like that. It's his ability, his blessing. Right. That is tahrif because it's changing the meaning from what is apparent. And the way that the Salaf explained that ayah, which again is beyond the scope of going into each and every single time. But we'll get that. We'll get there. We'll get to that, inshallah. That's distortion. Tayyip. What is denial or ta'til? To blanket denial. Say no. He doesn't have two hands. Well, what does it mean? We don't know what it means. Okay? Which is what they call madhab at-tafweed, which we'll talk about next week, inshallah ta'ala. At-tafweed, which means to consign the meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no idea what hands mean. We just know that it does not mean hands. I'm sorry. I know that sounded kind of weird. Okay. Okay, but everybody, there's nobody from the Muslims, okay, who would say that Allah Azza wa Jalla's hands are like our hands. That's the first thing that's why we talk about negation, because Allah Azza wa Jalla said laysa kamithlihi shay. He says that there's nothing like unto him. Right? But he also affirms that he has hands. So we affirm that he has hands, but they're not like our hands. But we're not going to change the meaning and say that it means power, it means blessings, or so forth. Okay? And we know what hands mean. We know what hands mean. How Allah Azza wa Jalla has hands, that's the part we don't know. But we do know a meaning. Okay? And we talked about that before, because we affirm hands for the clock that's behind me and the clock that's here, but those hands are not like our hands. We still call them hands. We still refer to them as hands, and that's what they are. But they're not like our hands. And we affirm what Allah Azza wa Jalla has affirmed for himself. And he wanted to call it something else, Allah Azza wa Jalla would call it something else. This is what he says about himself. All right. Again, we're going to get a little deeper into that as time goes on, inshallah. Second principle. Fadha.
Affirmation. Affirm all attributes that have been affirmed in revelation, the Quran and Sunnah.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says what? Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami' al-basir. So immediately after he says there's nothing like him, he says that he is what?
The hearing and the seeing.
Well, who is Sami' al-Basir? And he affirms for his creation that they, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. When he talks about mankind, he says, so we made him hearing and seeing. So Allah Azza wa Jalla affirms for man sight and the ability to hear, but he is a Sami' al-Basir, and his semeh, his basar, his hearing, his seeing is not like human beings hearing and seeing in so many different ways. But, you know, and again, this is a bit deep for the discussion right now, but do we not benefit from knowing that Allah is as-Sami' al-Basir? Absolutely. And you think about the قَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah heard the complaint of the woman. قَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Who came to you complaining about her husband, right? طيب. يعني سبحان الله. I don't know about you all, but when we hear that ayah, we should be comforted. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, if nobody else hears our pleas, if nobody else hears our concerns, if nobody else hears our cries for help, if nobody else hears that, Allah Azza wa Jalla hears it. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she praised Allah Azza wa Jalla for his sami'. In this particular story, Subhanalladhi wasi'a sam'uhu al-aswat. All praises for the one whose hearing encompasses all sounds. She said, I was in the other room. And if you see the house of the Prophet, I didn't know what I'm, it's only but yay big. And their rooms, it wasn't like they had sheetrock up. She was there. She said, I didn't hear. She could see. She could see them talking, but she couldn't hear them, right? And she says what? This is Allah Azza wa Jal who heard that. Min fawqi sab'i samawat, from above the seven heavens. Right? SubhanAllah. So the point is, do we not benefit from Allah Azza wa Jal informing us about Himself? Informing us that He is As-Sami', that He is Al-Basir? What if we just said, no, there's nothing like Him, so we're not going to describe Him with anything, even though He described Himself as being As-Sami' Al-Basir and all of the other attributes, and we don't know what that means. You don't know what As-Sami' means? Miskeen. SubhanAllah. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah told us to ponder over the Qur'an. So much of the Qur'an, and you can go look for yourself, so much of the Qur'an is Allah Azza wa Jal telling us about Himself. Is that part an exception to the part that we're supposed to ponder over? Are we not supposed to ponder over the fact that Allah is As-Sami', that Allah is Al-Basir? Well, we can't know the meaning of that. It's just impossible. You can't know what that means. Then how do we ponder over it? Because pondering is a branch of understanding the meaning. So, inshallah, time is up. And we made it 60% through. I thought that a little extra time today would help. Wallahu musta'an. But inshallah, next week we'll continue this. What I want you to get today is I do want you to understand these broad concepts. So, which is what? Negation and affirmation. Negation is based on Allah's statement, Laysa kamithlihi shay, amongst others, Adilla. But yani, that's what we cover for today. There's nothing like unto Allah. There's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Well, who is Sami' al-Basir is affirming his Sami' and his Basar, right? We affirm that without likening that to anything and without assigning a how to it, okay? So those four concepts that we took today that we have to avoid, they're the major heresies as it relates to the divine names and attributes, are what? What are those four? Let's go back. Memorize it. Tahrif and Ta'atil and Takyif and Tamthil. And we're going to cover that next week and then the week after, inshallah, it's going to stick in. But I want this to sink in from today. The more you get today, inshallah, the easier it will be as we move forward. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.